Good evening. My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm experiencing some victory over being abusive and struggling with contentment. We have got a lesson tonight, and you've got a handout, and the topic of our lesson is inventory. It's a little bit different. There aren't quite the fill-in-the-blank acrostics that we normally have, but if you do have a pen, I encourage you to use that tonight, because I'm going to invite you to write some things down. So, inventory. We're going to read principle 4 and step 4 up here on the screen. So let's read this together. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. So we're being invited to consider writing down what's happened to us in our lives, kind of the major events of our lives. And, you know, you might have a question of, you know, what is inventory and why should I even do it? Why does it even relate to me? So if you look in the dictionary, inventory would say the act or process of making a complete list of the things that are in a place. So we want to be thorough when we look at our life. If you're in a step study, this is one of the steps that you'd be doing. So how many people here have finished a step study, or they're in a step study right now? Just kind of a show of hands. Very good. Very good. So our premise here in Celebrate Recovery is that if you submit yourself to this process known as a step study that lasts about 9 months, you're going to come out a changed person. You're going to think different. You're going to react different. You're probably going to be a different person. And so there's hope that in your life you can have change. Life isn't going to continue on the same as it always has. So one of the things that we start looking at in inventory is, have there been people or events in my life that have really bothered me, that have really, you know, pissed me off, that have been unjust? There's a Bible verse that talks about this. It's Ephesians 4:31. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So if you've been wronged, you know, it's natural to feel violated and to feel anger. You know, we're not saying don't feel angry, don't feel violated. Those are certainly valid things. It's what you do with it. You know, if you're planning revenge, if you're planning to even the score, if you're planning to harm somebody as a result of the wrong to you, that should be an indicator that your thinking is off a little bit. So if you want some healing from the things in life that have hurt you or the habits you've developed to cope with life, we're inviting you to confess that. Like on Wednesday nights, small group is a great place to get that out. In a step study, doing an inventory and starting to write down these major life events is going to be a step in the process to heal you. I was just thinking about what happened when Jesus was around. And these people started hearing about the miracles and the wonders that Jesus did. Very often, people would come up to Jesus, and his opening line is, what do you want me to do for you? You know, what do you want me to do? So there were instances where people said, I want to see again. I want to walk. I want to speak. I want to hear. I want the sickness healed because physicians cannot help me. Cleanse me from leprosy. Heal my sick child, he's going to die. Calm the storm, we're all going to die. We're hungry, please feed us. You know, the reason God just asked these people, what do you want, is he wanted to hear them confess with their lips that they were in need. You know, if you and I say we don't have needs, God can't heal us. So in my life, I got kicked out of my house. You know, the police knocked on the front door. They said, here's a restraining order. You have 15 minutes to leave. I was pretty shocked. I went to a counselor, and after six sessions, the counselor said, Daniel, you don't seem to have any problems. You know, everyone else in your life has issues, but you haven't told me what your issues are, so I can't help you. So that was a light bulb going off that maybe I wasn't admitting what my part was in being abusive. I wasn't at that time ready to confess that I had done anything wrong. I just said, I hurt, my life hurts, the separation is unjust, I'm the victim here. Stinking thinking. So to get me out of that stinking thinking, a step study and doing inventory was very necessary and essential. So you've got a handout in front of you, there's five columns in it, and we're going to start to look at what those five columns mean. So column number one is the person. So you're just going to write down the name of a person that has impacted your life, typically for the worse. Or maybe you abuse them, but it's a person. It could be an institution. I don't like paying taxes very much, so, you know, column number one could be the IRS. Maybe you just don't like the government. The government could go in column one. Whatever your issue is or person, that's what column one is. And we're trying to look at the major events in your life where you've got unresolved conflict. You know, something happened to you and you've never talked about it and it's just been bottled up inside. So in recovery, we want to get those life events out onto a piece of paper. So a typical name in column one would be your parents, your siblings, your relatives, friends, coworkers, eventually God is going to go in column one. You're pissed off because God let something bad happen in your life. And then the big one in column one is yourself. You've done things in life that are unforgivable, or you don't want to forgive, or you think maybe you deserve to be punished because you did them. So these are typical names that are going to go in column one. You might have heard, you know, in popular society, time heals all wounds. Anybody believe time heals all wounds? Didn't think so. I don't think time heals wounds. I think God can heal wounds if we confess them out loud and if we confront the person and we get some resolution with it. So we're making this list. We've got column one. Column two is the cause. Here in recovery, you'll hear the phrase hurt people, hurt people. So I'm going to share some things in my life that would go in column two, the cause. You know, what did that person do to you to cause you resentment, to make you pissed off, to make you want to get revenge, to get even, to settle the score? You know, what happened? What actually happened? So in my life, a sibling hit my mother, and I couldn't stop it. My father hid Playboy magazines, yet he attended church regularly. A sibling had parties in the house, and all I wanted to do was sleep, but I couldn't. A manager laid me off my job in 2004, and it was the best job of my life. My wife got a restraining order and kicked me out of the house in 2005. My mother drank vodka from hidden bottles around the house And she didn't really stand up for herself in her relationship with my dad. So these are things that happened to me that kind of shaped my life. You know, these were incidents, these were things that happened. And when I'm doing inventory, I'm going to list out a lot of unresolved things, a lot of elephants, you know, in the room. A lot of them have to do with your family of origin. If you have kind of a trouble, you know, starting to make this list and work this list, you can ask an accountability partner for some perspective on your life. Certainly if you've got a sponsor, you can spend more time with your sponsor than an accountability partner typically. And a sponsor can speak some truth into your life and encouragement to get you unstuck if you're getting stuck with a particular column. Because we're basically not working recovery alone. You know, my best thinking got me kicked out of the house. You know, my best thinking got me separated from the family that I loved and cherished. Recovery taught me how to make amends and get invited back home and to not act up again. I never would have figured it out myself. Absolutely no chance of me figuring that out on my own. There's a lot of encouragement in Scripture. One of them is in Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." There's thousands of inspiring scriptures. You know, this is a spiritual journey that we're on. It's a 12-step process. You know, read your scriptures every day. You're going to find words of encouragement that will make you sane for that day and sober for that day and able to fill out this inventory. One thing you want to do in your inventory is keep it balanced. So a lot of times we think of inventory of, you know, all the bad stuff that happened to me or all the bad stuff I did. You can get depressed and go into a downward spiral if that's your sole focus. So what we recommend in inventory is that, at least what I recommend in inventory, is that every time you put a person's name down there and have a negative thing, put that same person's name down there and put a positive thing. So for example, in my family, I already shared with you some of the negative things that happened. Here's some positive things. A sibling stood up for me against a bully, so I was protected. My father supported me in my career choice and gave me good advice. A sibling became a Christian and then shared the good news with me, and I became a Christian. A manager was just doing his job and had to cut expenses for the company, and I was an abusive employee. I became a freelance worker because of that, with much more liberty. My mother loved me and encouraged me. Those are some of my things that I would put in column two. After I put negative things about these people in my life, always something positive. So I go negative, positive, negative, positive. I'm balanced. I'm not going to spiral into depression. Column number three is the effect. So we've been talking about these major life events that kind of shaped our thinking of what's normal. And what was the effect of those life events? So these specific, you know, actions that happened in our life affected us then, and they affect us now. So for me, in column three, some of the effects were I felt helpless to stop physical abuse. And I vowed never to use violence to resolve conflict with a loved one. I did break that vow with my son. I learned that it was okay to have a double life and act out sexually using pornography. I learned that I couldn't tattle on my sibling, but I had to hold it in along with all the unspoken frustration. I learned that talking back to authority figures and putting them down to make me feel important had a bad financial consequence. I learned that coping with life by having a buzz from booze can get out of control. So I vowed to never drink booze, but I broke that vow. So those are some things from my life that kind of shaped what I thought was normal and shaped my course and put me into recovery, a place where I need help. I need so much help that I qualify to be in all the men's groups. Every men's group I qualify for. I have enough dysfunction to be 100% fulfilled here. Column number four, the damage. So when these life events happen to us, they can have consequences, they can have damage to us. So the question that we're trying to answer is, what did that damage look like to us specifically? So what basic instinct in our life was damaged? Was it a social consequence? Like, you know, did you have a breakup, broken relationship, separation, divorce, slander, gossip? Did it affect your sense of security? Were you physically threatened? Did you suffer financial loss? Those are all security issues. And it's sexual. You know, have you been a victim of abusive sexual relationship? Has intimacy or trust been an issue in your life? So those basic areas, social, security, and sexual. So we've got these hurts, we've got these experiences, we're getting them out on paper, we're exposing them to the light, and for some reason in God's economy, the degree that we confess it is the degree that God chooses to heal us. So if we have something bad that's happened to us and we never express it, we never write it down, how is God supposed to heal us from that? So for me, some of my examples on this column, when I watched physical abuse, my security was damaged. When I viewed pornography and acted out, my sexual identity became warped. When I was frustrated with my siblings, my social instinct suffered, and I had broken relationships. When I lost my job, I had social suffering and financial loss. When I boozed it up, my security was threatened by driving drunk. I lost my job, and I had social injury because of broken relationships and inappropriate sexual relationships. So those are a lot of heavy things, but when we read scripture, we start to get some hope. You know, I'm not defined in my present by what I did in my past. You know, in recovery, every day is a new beginning. And in the Old Testament, there's a verse here from Ezekiel 34:16, and it says, "I will look for those that are lost. I will bring back those that wander off, bandage those that are hurt, and heal those that are sick." That's true for today. That's true for me. That's true for you. We've done four columns. The fifth column was, what was my part in this thing that happened? Did I have a part to play in what I've just written down? And one of the reasons we're doing this is Lamentations 3:40 tells us, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." So by writing these things down, we're examining our past. We're not hiding it anymore. We're going to talk about the elephant in the room. We're going to talk about the family secrets. In recovery, we say, you're only as sick as your secrets. So you have to get the secrets out in a safe place. So this list is going to be for you, and this list is going to be for your sponsor when we do a fifth step. So there's a reason that we're doing this list. So in this column, number five, is going to list people that you've hurt and people that have hurt you. And we're going to use that when we get to the amends step. So that's why it's good to be very specific in these things that we're writing down, these life incidences that we're writing down, specific person, specific things that happened, what you felt, how it impacted you. So for me, in column number five, I'll just share with you, watching physical abuse, what was my part in that? None. You know, if you've grown up in a home and you've seen someone get beaten in front of you, what was your part? None. You are a spectator. If you were in a home and you were physically abused, what was your part in that? Not responsible, not guilty. If you were a child and you were beat, and that's abuse, your part is not guilty. So for pornography in my life, I was responsible. So we take responsibility for the bad behavior that we have. I was responsible. It hurt my wife. It hurt my children. It hurt my relationship with the Christian community, and it hurt my relationship with God. So all the people that action hurt. With the issue of frustration with siblings, I was responsible for my behavior. I decided to stuff my resentment against my sibling, and I tried to keep score and get back at that person. When I lost my job, I was responsible for that. And I continued to slander my ex-manager. And my stinking thinking and my talk was very negative. I was very unpleasant to be around. Drinking booze, I'm responsible. Every glass. I hurt myself. I hurt my family. I hurt those that cared for me. If you're in a place of denial and you're kind of stuck and you're saying, I haven't done that much bad stuff, here's a verse that might help you. Psalm 139:23. Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover if there's any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way. So as Christians, we believe that the Holy Spirit lives within us. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of wrongdoing. So you just have to ask the Holy Spirit, is there something in my past that I've done where I've hurt somebody else and I've never made right with them? You know, I've hurt them and I've never made amends with them. You know, is there something unresolved in my life? Please bring that to my mind. So this process of doing an inventory takes some time. You're probably not going to sit down in an hour and be thorough enough to capture all the things, the major events in your life that have made you turn out the way you are right now. It's probably going to take weeks of work to do this. And if you're in a step study, you're typically given somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks to do this inventory process. And you're doing it with a group of other believers all at the same time, so you're being encouraged to do that. It's a good process to do. There's another encouraging verse in the Old Testament from Isaiah 1:18. It says, come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. I can make you white as wool. This is God doing the healing in us. So you're keeping your inventory balanced, something negative, something positive. You've got a team of people that are going through the process at the same time as you are, accountability partners in your small groups, accountability partners in your step study. A sponsor is good for this because a sponsor has completed this process and can encourage you to complete it. So for some people, you know, it's a stumbling block. How do I get started? I'm kind of a calendar guy, so I just put time on my calendar. I just say, you know, Sunday from 2 to 3:30, I'm going to do, you know, one page in my inventory. And the next week, I'm going to do another page in my inventory. and eventually I'll finish it. And I'll share that with accountability partners, or I'll share that with a sponsor and have them hold me accountable. And they'll ask me, you know, how you doing on your inventory? So does inventory work? I think so. Let me share some stuff from my life now that I've done recovery for a while in the process. I've been sober from booze since 1989. I'm reconciled with my wife, and I got invited back home in 2006. The last person I assaulted was 2006. The broken relationship I had with the son who I assaulted is being restored. I can pick up the phone and talk to any of my siblings. I do not have unresolved conflict with my siblings. I'm living a life with sexual purity. And what I've learned is the antidote to having a critical spirit is to use affirmations instead of sarcasm, put down, and shames. So my life has changed because I've gone through these steps, and inventory was a big part of that. And I just encourage you, you know, if you've never been in a step study, to maybe think about doing a step study where you actually get to put the time in and complete this. We'll find out as we go through more lessons that, you know, even once you've done an inventory like this, you'll continue to do something called a daily inventory. So at nighttime, before you go to bed, you'll ask yourself, did somebody harm me today? Did I harm somebody today? Is there unresolved conflict in my life from what happened to me today? And then I do something about it the next day. So I keep a short account. I don't stuff life. I'm more verbal. I married a woman who was my opposite, and so she was quiet and more codependent. And so if I offended her, she might tell me 3 years later. But she came to celebrate recovery, and guess what? While the offense is still coming out of my mouth, she calls me on it instantly. So I can't act I can't act the old way. I can't use shame and put down and sarcasm to control people to do what I want, when I want and how I want it, because the people around me have come to recovery, they're getting better, and they'll call me on it. So it's been a blessing to teach this lesson. It's a process. I am not fixed. I came through those doors 11 years and 1 month ago, and it was the best decision of my life. I fought recovery for months and years, and now I've decided to stop fighting it. And I started to agree with God, and I started to agree with His truth, and I can't wait to be here every Wednesday night. So thank you for listening.